We're in a series right now called We Are, where we have been looking at the defining elements of who we are as a church. And it's been important because I think that we are a church that has, in some regard, lost its identity. We have had, if you look at all the way back, our church was established in 1873, which is crazy to think about. It has had pastor after pastor after pastor, and then this church before I came along was a church without a pastor, and the leadership has hung on really well. I'm so grateful for the current leadership that I have that was here before I got here, and they kept this church going. But they hired me to be able to come and establish kind of who we are and where we're going as a church. And so that's what we're doing right now. And so last week, if you didn't hear it, please go to the podcast and listen to it. It's important. Specifically, if you call GVC, Goleta Valley Church, your home, make sure you listen to that podcast. It's on our website. And then this week, we are going in and speaking to this, this idea that we are, one, simple, which was last week, and two, relevant. We are relevant to the needs of our city. If you would, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. That is on page 957 in the Bibles, in the Pew Bibles. So if you're new here or you're a visitor and you don't have a Bible, that black hardback Bible that's right in front of you that says English Standard Version, that is our gift to you. If you don't have a Bible, please take that Bible home. We'd love for you to take that and enjoy it and read it. And then that page number, if you're using those Bibles, that's on page 957. Once you're there, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? First Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 19. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I may win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, but that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. And I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Would you pray for me as I pray for us? Father, we want to be faithful to your word. I want to be able to say what you want me to say. So Lord, I am asking that you would gift me with the gift of prophecy that I could speak in a timely manner to a people that need to hear from you. And so Lord, speak to me and through me. Blessed be the reading of your word, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. All right, this comes right off of our website. So if you go on our website, which is GoletaValleyChurch.com or GVCSB.com, which stands for Goleta Valley Church Santa Barbara.com, because we want to be a county church, it says this. One, we were established in 1873. We've been around a while. That said, we are excited for a new season for us. In July of 2016, we hired Bobby Grassi, that's me, as a new senior pastor with the intent of revitalizing our church. This type of season brings change, but whether you are visiting for the first time or haven't been in a while, there are a few things that you need to know that will remain the same, and here they are. The first one is this, simple. So this was our message last week. We proclaim a simple message. That Jesus Christ is the hope of our world. Though this news has been around for 2,000 years, we believe that it's just as relevant today as it was then. And now this week, we'll be talking about this. We believe relevant. We believe the truths of the Bible connect humanity back to its creator. It also teaches that if we have peace with God, it begins to affect all other areas of life, including the way we treat others. Therefore, every sermon will have some relevance to what we believe or how we live. And then the last one, historical. Our church has been serving Goleta and Santa Barbara County for over 140 years, but the Church Universal was established over 2,000 years ago. We believe that our local expression of a church is a small part of a large family of faith that is made up of all cultures, tribes, and tongues. And this last sentence is important. Therefore, we are connected by faith to history, relevant to the needs of our city, and simple in the solution we offer. Therefore, we are connected by faith to history, relevant to the needs of our city, and simple in the solution we offer. Now this week, relevant. What does relevant mean? Let's define it. Means appropriate to the current time, period, or circumstances, or of contemporary interest. Okay? So there should be a definition on there. There it is. Appropriate to the current time, period, or circumstances of contemporary interest. And so it begs the question, because the church has been struggling with this for a long time. We have a very old message, correct? We have a very old book that we base it on. Is it relevant to today? Is it appropriate to our current time, our period, or our circumstances? Is it contemporary enough to hold the interest of others? And so the three questions that we'll be asking in regards to the bulk of the sermon, and then we're going to have some applications afterwards, is this. Is the solution we offer, talking about simplicity and our the simple message that we proclaim, Jesus Christ, is the solution we offer appropriate for today? Is it current for our time and circumstances we face? And can we make a 2,000-year-old message of a contemporary interest, or should we? Or should we? So how can we be relevant to the needs of our city? So here's number one. Is the simple solution we offer of Jesus Christ appropriate today? No. And yes. Why no? Okay. So let's just talk a minute and just be human and talk about why I would say no. That's because we have abused, and this isn't just this church. I've been serving Jesus now for a little over 25 years. And I have seen this time and time and time and time again, that mentioning Jesus is like mentioning something about politics. You just don't, it's not appropriate, right? Only in like certain friends, like what are the things you're not supposed to talk about? Politics and religion. And so in one very real sense, it's not appropriate. But can we just take a minute and go, well, yes, the gospel is offensive to those who don't believe. And so just by itself, when you mention Jesus, people react. Because it's like, have you ever been in a dark area and someone flips the light on? Like, you ever been almost asleep and your spouse comes in and goes, hey, honey, flips the light on? Am I the only one? That's weird. So my wife has done that. My kids have done that. So, but the thing is that it's offensive. It's hard to see. And so just by itself, the mention of Jesus Christ can be pushed, like there's a pushback to it. But the reason why I want to bring this up is that we have some play in this. The big church, the Church Universal, has really kind of abused the idea of who Jesus is, and specifically when it comes to being able to preach the message of Jesus. And so sometimes when we talk about the message is offensive to those who don't believe, yes, but can we be honest? Haven't we all been a jerk in Jesus' name? Amen. I know I have. Like, I look back and I still see a residue of all the way back when I was 20, 19, 20, right around in there. I first got saved. And I just bulldozed some of my family with the gospel. I mean, I just flattened them. They better repent, right? I mean, I was so on fire, but I was just like, ah, Jesus, you know, and I was all crazy about it, but I was just like cornering people, like, hey, like, do you believe that? Well, yeah, well, you want to pray right now to receive Jesus? Because it'll change your eternal destiny. Well, can I have a second? No, you got to do it right now. I mean, just, and I still can see there's like a, now here's the thing. I was young, true, but I bulldozed people with the gospel message. And I think that if we're being honest, when I ask myself this question, like, is the solution we offer appropriate for today? I had to think to myself, well, kinda, because it seems like we've kind of blown it in a lot of areas. And we've mixed in Jesus with a lot of other things, and we'll get more into that. But I think that If that hit you at all, just, like, repent. I know I spent some time this morning just going, God, I'm sorry. I mean, because here's the thing is that there's a strange philosophy somewhere along the way that the gospel should make people more like us. And what has happened is we've mixed Jesus with our culture, the culture that we like, whether that be Baptist or whether that be, you know, whatever it is, fill in the blank, Pentecostal, charismatic, like kind of, or anything in between, non-denominational, or you have your Willow Creek movements, all these different things. We think that when someone comes to know Jesus, they should adopt our politics. They should adopt immediately our morality, even out things outside of scripture. Like, here's a great example. So I lived in Maui for just under 4 years. And there is a known story, at least by the locals, and you can look it up. There's two different stories, but the majority of the story is this, is that when the Catholics first came to establish missionary groups in the Hawaiian Islands, they were so sick of the locals not wearing shoes that they planted what's called a kiawi bush. Now, if you've ever been to Hawaii and stepped on a kiawi plant, you know what I'm talking about. They have like 2-inch thorns. Like, you know those little Hawaiian slippers, the flip-flops that you get? Those things don't even have a chance against these thorns. Like, you have to have, like, work boots on to step on. But they planted those because they wanted to what? Preach the gospel? No. No, they wanted the natives to become more like them, to be respectable, to wear shoes. If we're honest, we've all done that. And that's what I mean by hit yes and no is the simplest solution we offer of Jesus Christ appropriate for today. Yes and no. But we've adopted, I think, a strange philosophy that says once you've adopted the gospel, you should be more like us. You should definitely repent of being a Democrat, right? Like this side of the whole side of the room just shook their head yes. I'm noticing a division in our church here. We got to work on this, guys. But when did the gospel become a political viewpoint? Now, obviously, the gospel influences the way we vote. I would never say otherwise. But it doesn't mean like a stamp or a mold. The kind of songs that we sing, the way that we decorate, the way that we dress is another good one that the church has struggled with. Like, how do you dress in church? You know, 20, 30, 30 years ago, this would have been offensive. First Corinthians 9. Now, that being the case, is the simple solution we offer of Jesus Christ appropriate for us today? Listen to what Paul has to say. We just read the scripture, but I want to read it again now that you have that context. For though I am free, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more. To the Jews, I became a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law. In other words, he's saying, though I didn't completely submit myself, in other words, I've been set free from the law, but he's saying that he acted like a Jew that he might win Jews. To those that didn't have the law of Moses, which is what he's talking about there, he became and acted and became a part of the culture of those outside the law, though not falling into serious sin, but that he might win those outside the law. Now, think about that for a second. And this has been a movement going on for a long time. But do you think that, as far as what the Catholic Church did to the Hawaiians, what do you think about that? It's pretty bad, right? But in their mind, they were completely justified because dignified culture wears shoes. Now we look back at that and go, oh, atrocious. But I guarantee you there's stuff that we're doing today that is just as atrocious as that. And yet Paul says, no. So let me say it in today's current context, obviously specifically to this side. To the Democrats, I became a Democrat. To the Republicans, I became a Republican. Why? that I might win more. To the poor, I became as one as poor. To the rich, I became one as rich. Do you see how this begins to work? Like, this is what it means to be able to be relevant within the gospel message. To be relevant within the gospel message. I better hurry up. All right. So here's what I mean by this. All right, so we learn the ways of others and then find what's called gospel bridges so that the message becomes appropriate. So here's what it means to become to build a gospel bridge, is that you have your current culture that you're used to. Like, think about your culture. No matter where you're from this morning, think about where you're from and some of the things that define that culture. The foods that you eat, the music that you listen to, the clothes that you wear. What defines success? What defines failure? All those questions go into defining a culture. Like, who's the hero of that culture? Like, who do people look up to? And then you ask the same questions about another culture. And you ask those. And then you go, what are the stones in which I can build to build a bridge between those two so that I may preach the gospel? And here's what I mean. When I was in Hawaii, they have a huge respect for the idea of a holy man. So now, my skin is white. I don't know if you guys noticed. Okay. So walking into a group of Hawaiians, how do you think that would go? Usually not good, right? I get story after story, I guess, because again, I was young. I didn't know any better. And I would just walk right into huge groups of Hawaiian guys partying. So there's two rules in Hawaii. When there's a group of Hawaiians together, don't interrupt them. And what heightens that rule is if they're drinking. If you're a Hali, you don't walk into a group of Hawaiian guys that are drinking. But I did. And I remember so many looks like, bruh, what are you doing? Like almost like mercy. Like, dude, you're going to get destroyed. And as soon as I started preaching about Jesus, there was an immediate respect. Why? Because there's an underlying subculture there that says, I respect the holy man. Like, I remember one time there was this bully in this small town that I lived in. And anybody that was white or didn't live or wasn't from that town, you were going to get beat up sooner or later by this guy. Now, I was in my early 20s, and I was working there and living there, and I was doing my laundry at the laundromat, and the group of Hawaiians that I'm talking about, specifically this one guy, is in between me and my clothes at the laundromat. You picturing this? This is a problem. But it is what it is, right? So I'm walking along. Well, what does he start doing? He sees me coming, and he starts shadow boxing on the sidewalk towards me. This is a big man. I'm a kid. So I'm walking along, and I'm like, ah. So you just look, I just look down. And he goes, I always remember, he goes, brah. I'm just saying, that's what he said. Brah, you from the church? I was like, oh, yes. And he goes, always remember this, he goes, good thing, cuz, I don't want to beat nobody up from the church today. If one wrong answer there, my face would look a little different this morning. Because they had an immediate respect. But here's the thing. Though they had a respect for the holy man, there was also a distrust. Because of the things that some of the Catholic Church did, back then, there was an immediate distrust. And so how did I build the gospel bridge? By simply respecting their culture. Boom, there's a stepping stone. Knowing things about their culture, knowing things and studying things and being able to relate to some of the things that were written and some of the things they value. Boom, another stepping stone. And then you fast forward later to Las Vegas when I moved to Vegas to help plant a church. The gospel bridge was very different. It was not a respect, a culture. There wasn't a culture in Vegas when I moved there because it was so transient. It was just like there was no actual culture there. And so it was not a show respect to culture, but there was a no-set culture. So, and because it was a boom, it was like a mutt of all different types of cultures. And it was a city that that just needed to be to identify itself. And so what did you have to do? You had to establish relational trust. Because here's the thing. Like, I saw people, they would lose their marriage in a night. And I knew them. Why? Because once again, they took their paycheck from Friday and threw it all on black and came home with no check, and now their kids can't eat. The wife's like, I'm done. This guy's life is devastated. This happened more than once. Who's still around? That's a gospel bridge. If I'm there and I'm building that relational equity in people, that's a gospel bridge. All of a sudden, it establishes this stepping stone for me to be able to go, yes, Jesus. And that also happened many times as well. See, it's a matter. It's not a matter of figuring out, like, it's not rocket science. What is in Goleta? What are the gospel bridges in Goleta? Who do we look to as a hero? Like, who's our local hero? What do we value? What brings success? And I'll post some of these questions on Facebook this week. If you're not on our Facebook page, make sure you jump on that. There's some good application on there. So we are relevant to the needs of our city by being relevant and serving the people who live in it. Verse 22 says, to the weak I became weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. The gospel is our motivation. And we work hard to begin to establish these things. Number two, it is a simple solution. Is the simple solution of the gospel current for our time and the circumstances we face? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Is the simple solution of the gospel current to our time and the circumstances? In our community group, we watched a short video, at least in mine. We're a few weeks behind the one that meets on Friday nights. But we watched a short video of a guy named Jeff, who's a pastor, and he talked about his kids. And he talked about how he ministered the gospel to his kids. One kid struggled with shame. She was like the good kid. She was like the religious kid. It wasn't shame. It was shame. Sorry. Anyway, the big idea is this. He knew his kids. And he applied the gospel to his kids. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable. For what? This is talking about the Bible. For teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. This scripture points to a completeness and a wholeness that all of humanity is looking for. Second one, 2 Peter. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted us his precious and very great promises, so that through them we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. He's granted us through his power all things that pertain to life and godliness. Here's the good news, church. Jesus is still the hope of the world. Jesus is still the hope of the world. We see this compromise day in and day out. With even church leaders, there's a guy named Rob Bell who just recently quoted that he was in an interview with Oprah. He was a very established church leader, had a huge church, decided he's kind of veering off from Orthodox Christianity, which is why we're going to talk about history, so we don't never do this. And he decided to kind of veer away, and she's asking about gay marriage. And he goes, well, the church is pretty irrelevant when they quote a book that was written over 2,000 years ago to try to establish something. Like, society has moved on. And so when they quote this book, they just show their irrelevance. How many of you guys agree with that? I mean, it's all around us. But here's the thing. Does the Bible provide answers for us? Yeah, it does. And that's our job. That's us as a church. I'm struggling with suicide. Let's go to the scriptures and look. And again, we don't just go to the scriptures and, like I've said this before, don't just tell someone, take these two scriptures and call me in the morning. Like, don't just do that. Get to know who they are, what's the gospel bridge, and then you apply the scripture to their situation. That applies to sexuality. That applies to all areas of life. And so the this, get to know this and learn how to apply it to other people, because Jesus is still the hope of the world. All right, if you would, go to Acts chapter 17. I'm going to give you guys some examples. Acts chapter 17, that's on page, wrong notes. I think it's on your notes. Someone have the page number with the black Bibles around the room? Man, I really need my wife can't leave anymore, apparently. I'm a mess. Acts chapter 17, verse 16, starting. 926, page 926. All right. Starting in verse 16, it says this. Now, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him, as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons in the marketplace every day with those that happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him and said, and some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities," because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching that is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. Telling or hearing something new. Now, so Paul walks in. So picture this. Paul walks into a city, and it's filled with idols. So like, the only thing I can reckon to is I've been to India, and I've walked into a large city that has multiple statues everywhere, and people are exhibiting worship towards them. Like, you can just be walking down a small rural road, and there'll be a god to the tree. There's gods everywhere. They have millions, I believe, of gods, right? There's a God for everything. And so Paul, as he walks into this, goes, man, this is like, he's provoked. What would you say if you walked into that city? Now think about that for a second before you answer too quickly. You walk into a culture that's very different from yours. Let's just pretend you grew up in the church. You know the Bible, you know the scriptures, and you walk into this culture and you start preaching. What are you saying? Like, what's the message that you take from that point on? Is it, stop it? I mean, that would be okay, right? Like, they're doing something extremely simple, but like, do you just, hey, you guys need to stop this. This is bad. You pray that it would end. That's not a bad prayer. Lord, I pray that all this idolatry would end. That'd be awesome. But is that what you preach? Look at what, how Paul says. He then starts in verse 22. He says, "So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, 'Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served with human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods in the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. And even some of your own poets have said, 'For we indeed are his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, ought we not think the divine being like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man? The times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent." What did the Apostle Paul do right there? He built a huge bridge. Like, think about that. He could have just went like, he could have came up and he had his opportunity and just said, for those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Just start off strong. For those who have eyes to see, let them see. The idols that you're worshiping are wrong. Tear them all down, for who I proclaim to you is the only true God. He could have said that and that would have been true. But instead, he winsomely built a gospel bridge. He looked around and he noticed. Like, he had to be there to see. He had to go through all these different gods to see an inscription that says to the unknown God. So he's there and he's studying the culture as he's preaching. And he's like, oh, I see that. And then what does he do when he preaches? He quotes one of their own poets. So is it okay to quote Justin Bieber? Never. It's never okay. But is it okay to quote current culture to point to the gospel? Yes. Paul did it. As an example in scripture of how he's being led by the Spirit. So by all means. And so we see that Paul built this amazing gospel bridge, showing and pointing us how, and giving us an amazing example that he related to their worldview, the unknown God. He quotes one of their poets, and each one of those, he's putting a stone down that's like a stepping stone, that each one of those, he's building a bridge to be able to reach these people. To be able to reach these people. Let's read on. He transitions in, the last verse I read was verse 30. He goes, for now he commands all people everywhere to repent because he is fixed on a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Now when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, we will hear you again on this. So Paul went out of their midst, but some men joined and believed. Did you hear that? But some men joined and believed. That is why. Their eternal destinations were completely and totally changed. We are relevant to the needs of our city by being relevant to the people who live in it. And the last one, can we make a 2,000-year-old message a contemporary interest, or should we? And the answer, as we just saw, was yes, we do. The answer is yes, we do. We see that what Paul did and just brought this gospel bridge. You guys look tired, and I know I'm talking monotone, so I'm going to try to close this up. All right. What does it look like to be a disciple that's relevant? That's one of the questions. The section that I have for this morning is this. What does it look like to be a disciple? We looked at last week, simple. This week, relevant. So, number one, the first one is you. What does it look like for you to be relevant? Who knows that you're a Christian? Who knows? So answer these questions for yourself. Who knows that I'm a Christian? What gospel bridges can be built? And how can I influence and create gospel culture? How can I influence and create gospel culture? What is gospel culture? Very simply is an expression towards who God is based on the work of your hands and what you do. So there's three subjects. We are relevant to you, and then what does it look like to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus to others? Who does your gift or calling reach? What needs are you fulfilling? And how does it bless your city? Who does your gift or calling reach? Calling, gifts, or reach? What needs are you fulfilling? And how does it bless your city? And the last one is this. For the church, how can you be a relevant disciple in the church? Who can you invite? What areas in my church? This is an important one. What areas in my church keep me from inviting others? You thought about that? What about Goleta Valley Church keeps you from inviting your friends? If you say nothing, that's cool. But if there's something in your mind, the next question for you is, how can you help? Like, what can you do to get this to the place? Because this is what I want. I want this church to be a place that is, what is offensive is the gospel, and that's okay. But nothing else. From the parking lot to the pulpit, I want this to be a place that you, man, I can't wait to invite my friends to this church. Including the way I preach. I'm open to criticism. Just once. But yeah, I'm just kidding. But that's what it looks like to be a relevant disciple. to you, to others, and to the church? Those questions, again, will be posted on our website. You can look from last week and this week under the sermon. There's sermon notes. All those questions will be there, and they are important questions. And the last thing I have for you is this, is restoration. Jesus sends us. If I could have the band come forward. That Jesus sends us. So we looked at creation, that God is holy. We looked at the fall, that Jesus saves us. We looked at that we are not holy. We looked at redemption, that Jesus saves us, and then we see restoration, that Jesus sends us. And I want to read to you our verse this morning from 1 Corinthians as a sending verse. For though I am free from all, I made myself a servant of all, that I might win more of them. To the Jew, I became as a Jew in order to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being under the law myself, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. And I do it for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessing. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.